sit back and strap in. This is the Robbie Hunter Birthday Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Oh, I love that, Ewan. I love that. Oh, happy birthday. You know, I used to, when I was growing up in New Zealand, we had a friend of ours. His name was Junior. And I thought this song was for him. Because I thought they used to that Stevie Wonder was singing, Happy Birthday, Junior. I did. Well, congratulations, Leon.
I thought I'd done something good then.
Well, you are part of the club. I was actually one of the trade rags this week. I was having a look at, they've got a big pullout in one of the sections on the Challenge Cup. See if I can find it. And I was just going through your Challenge Cup record. And it's very, very impressive.
Is it?
You've played in 6 finals. And you've only lost one of them.
Yeah, St. Helens, Swickenham. Remember?
Yeah, for the Bulls. 2000? Yeah. 2001.
2001.
2001. And all the rest of them?
I've won.
All wins.
5.
5 massive wins. Well, I'm going to get into you towards the back end of the show because obviously Challenge Cup final is this weekend.
Yep.
So I'm going to get back. Is all you can hear out there is just me playing with
rustling paper?
Paper,
yeah. Reading your league. Reading your league express.
I can't find it. But like I was saying, but then on the flip side of that, you're looking at the Warrington team and there's another player that's played in like 6 grand finals as well.
6 Challenge Cup finals.
Challenge Cup finals, sorry, yeah.
Who's and, that? Who's that?
And Ryan Bailey.
I lost them all.
He's the flip side.
He's lost them all.
He's lost 5. And 1-1.
Has anybody won more than me in Challenge Cup? Has this Peacock, how many has he won? He must have won a lot. Jesus.
No, but he didn't, did he? Because obviously with Leeds, they lost so many.
Ah, yeah, I forgot about that. Sorry.
But they won the last 2, and he won 2 with Bradford, so he's only got 4.
Okay.
I think in the modern era, you are the most decorated Challenge Cup winner. You must
thank
be.
You. Thank
like
you.
To, I'd like
thank
to
you.
Know.
Thank you for you, somebody else saying it rather than me. I do like to blow me on trumpet sometimes.
Okay, so Jakey's just come back in with a coffee for Leon. Leon just clicked his fingers and Jakey went running for a drink. But we've got a cake. I think we've taken a photo. Jakey, you want to post a cake?
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Ewan, 2 years in.
Yep.
Obviously, we would expect that if the show wasn't going well, we would have been cut more than a year ago. After 2 weeks, get rid of them, you know, it's just getting no traction at all.
And to be fair, Ewan's been a big part of it, hasn't he? He's built it up, he's given some direction, he's a very central part of the show.
We'll depend on the answer to this next question.
Well, go on, then.
Whether how big a part Ewan's been in this, and that is, where's our presence?
Presents. I've got you a special bag of jelly beans. They sat on my desk. You can have them. Jake can go and get them.
All 20 pence worth.
20 pence. 35p. Yeah. Oh, that is shocking.
It's the thought that counts, though, right?
Leon.
Hello.
Birthdays. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a favourite birthday that's got any connection with rugby? Anything that we did special?
No. I've got a very, my worst ever birthday. Rather than the best, let's go the flip side. Rather than the good one, let's go on the bad one.
Oh, I know this one. I know what you're going to say.
My 18th birthday was supposed to be a celebration. We were supposed to turn up to Old Trafford. We were supposed to win. I was supposed to score, get man at match. And we were supposed to all go back to that what's that hotel called down there where we went back?
The Queen's, isn't
it? No. Next door to Sports Shows Unlimited. What were it called? Hilton.
Hilton.
Yeah, we were all supposed to go back there and party for my 18th birthday, which was the grand final night in 1999.
Rock straight out across the Centenary Square the next day, open top bus,
celebrate that
keep
as well.
Keep the birthday going all
but
weekend.
But instead, on my 18th birthday in 1999, were probably my worst defeat ever in my career. And we'd beaten St. Helens 40-3 or 40-12 the week before, 2 weeks before at Oddsall. Absolutely demolished them. Turned up to Old Trafford, thinking that we were going to beat them and got turned over.
But that's the mindset of a grand final, isn't it? You cannot do that. Do not be arrogant. You know, I was with you on that. I was one of those. Oh, we just need to turn up and make numbers.
I don't think we were arrogant. I just thought we were the best team that season. We were super confident, and I think one big thing that we all learned that night is when you start panicking in a grand final, even if you are the better team. If you've all got to do is drop a few balls and the things escalate can snowball quickly. And you know, when you try to force the pass and force it and play a bit of a different game than usually would,
yeah.
It escalates and it can turn into a big problem. And that night, we were our own worst enemies.
You become independent, don't you?
Yeah.
You work hard, but just on your own. And everybody's desperate, and then desperate creates anxiety.
Yeah.
Anxiety creates errors. You're giving the ball over, missing tackles. You're trying to fix defensive holes, and it's not even your... I mean, do you remember that wide to west play?
Yep.
Semi-final, I think, and we had the game. The game was all done and dusted. The right-hand defense folded behind the left-hand defense to try and shut the game down.
I remember
and
it
all
because
they did was they threw it back the other side.
I remember because I was the one that were tracing Chris Joint as he dived in front of me and celebrated, and then I can remember Sean Long picking up Bernard's head, the mascot, that big puppy, his head,
putting it on his head
and started running around the stadium. Oh. I can remember.
Matty Elliott just fainted.
And dropped on the floor.
I remember I don't think it was a favourite birthday, but it was a birthday that actually had my 21st birthday. You know that big one?
Yeah.
Do you remember Joe Tumani?
Yep.
The flying Fijian that we had for 1996.
Yeah, Costal.
Well, in the 97, World Nines, I went down. It was the first time I was called up to play senior rugby league for New Zealand. And we beat Australia in that final. On that night, the final was on February the 2nd in Townsville. My birthday is February the 3rd. So we went from that Saturday night, the final night, partying all night. But I didn't tell anyone it was my 21st because we were on a plane the next day. And I was thinking, you know, the worst thing you want is to have a hangover on a 24-hour flight.
And did you?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Did you not go again on plane?
The only person that I then knew was Joe, and Joe was playing Fiji.
And you didn't go again on plane?
Nah.
The plane trip the third?
Do you remember? Yeah, you don't remember me back then. I was a real nerd back in those days.
Nerd. I were a nerd when I was younger, though, as well. When we get older, we get crazy.
I remember you doing a preseason training, and you absolutely destroyed everyone.
Everyone.
And that's the last hard preseason training. That's the last I ever saw you train hard, ever.
I sort of rolled downhill from there, wasn't it?
From that point onwards, and you were only 18 at the time.
I'll fly
you just
about
got
then.
Sloppy.
Yeah, I know. But
and then there was it was that season. It was absolutely brilliant. You scoring a the field try, and some photographer got this absolutely brilliant picture of you. And back in those days, you used to pull your mouth right open.
I still do it now.
Yeah, but now you try to close your mouth.
Do I?
From that point onwards, you tried to close your mouth.
Did I? Oh, I don't care what I look like when I run.
Let's talk rugby league. Leon, your boys absolutely pumped Catalans last Friday night, was it?
Yeah. Last Thursday.
Boring game.
Boring game.
Absolutely boring.
Game done and dusted by halftime. 22-0 at halftime.
How does it get to that part of the season where Catalans got everything to play for? Obviously, you guys are, it's in the shadow of the Challenge Cup finals, your preparations.
Mm-hmm.
How does Catalans serve that up?
I think there's a couple of factors. I think that they've been on the downward spiral for quite a few weeks now, 6-7 weeks. Missing Todd Carney, Pat Richards retired. They're not in sorts. They're not where they were 4 months ago, are they? Nowhere near.
No.
And it all came to a factor. I think, in my opinion, that Todd Carney is too much of a big of influence on that team that they know if they don't have him, what chance have they really got?
Do you think that it's a confidence thing when he's not there?
Yeah.
Or it's a structural thing because he's not pulling the strings, he's not moving them around the park.
I just think that it's too big of an influence, I think. And I know the way the French teams work, I know the way the French people and the French fans and the board work. I think Todd Carney is that big of a player for them that when he's not playing, it has a very big effect emotionally as well, because they're very emotionally driven people, and I know that things like that affect the fans, and it vibrates all the way through to the team. And I had a feeling that we're going to beat him by 34.
Now, they've got a new young French halfback, I can't pronounce his name, running about. Was he in part of the junior system coming through?
Albert. No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there when I was there. But I've spoken to a few of the French boys and they've got quite decent raps on him. But it's going to be a while yet before he matures into a player of anywhere near the calibre of Bosc or of Todd Carney.
Yeah, you're right. And very few players actually get to that talent range in the first place anyway. All right, we're going to go to a break. Stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, talking nothing but rugby league for the rest of the hour. And what about that little plug by Griffo, talking about the two-year anniversary of
Griffo
birthday,
listens.
The birthday show.
Cheers, Griffo.
Griffo, I know he's listening. He's the biggest fan of the show.
He's cruising home right now as we're talking.
He is a top man, though. He's a top man. Top man.
And congratulations on getting married recently as well, Griffo. We love you.
We love you, Griffo.
Sorry, ladies. It's one of the good ones out of the dating pool. Much love to your wife as well. She's going to have to put up with you for the rest of your life. All right. We couldn't do a birthday show without getting the full team on here. So I think we've got Robbo live. Robbo, are you there?
Yeah, good evening, fellas.
Robbo, mate, I understand that you're coaching this evening. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't get any birthday cake with you tonight. I've had to. The under-19s have got a fixture against Castleford down at Loch Lane in Huddersfield, so I'm in the coaching role tonight.
Robbo, do you know the name of our radio show?
The Pulse.
No, the radio show, not the station it's on, the radio show itself.
From what I can remember, it's the Luke and Robbie show.
Luke and Leon.
Robbie show. Luke and Leon show, yeah.
Mate, you're saying every name but Leon's. Mate, when it's a Robbie Hunter Paul show, you're supposed to ring me when you're not going to be on the show, not Ewan. Ewan's just a producer that pushes the button. He's just a button pusher.
I thought he was the boss, to be fair, mate. I thought he was he's been telling me he's the boss.
He struts about the studio like he's a big dog.
Leon virtually said this show would be nothing without me.
He did suggest that earlier. He intimated it's a big part of the show. So, Robbo, we need to have a word off the air about when your real job that pays your wages gets in the way of our radio show, mate.
To be fair, mate, it probably will get in the way because Huddersfield have got me doing about 10 jobs. I was looking through my contract earlier thinking, sure it doesn't say kit man. I'm washing balls each shower after the game today. I'll be doing ice baths.
Welcome to the real world, Robbo. No longer a player, eh?
Yeah, I've got a real job for once. Yeah, first time in my life.
Quickly, just on the first team, Ryan Brierley seems to be working well with Jamie Ellis at the moment now that Danny Brough is off, because he's been playing at fullback, but he's had to come back into the halves with Danny not being there.
Yeah, it'll probably be a nice fixture for him to come into. You know, let's be fair, we're expected to beat like Batley out. We're a Super League outfit full time. If we didn't win that game, we didn't get on the front foot. You know, there'd be questions being asked, but he played pretty well and he's. Look, the question arises every couple of weeks regarding Ryan and what's his best position. And he's new to the league. He hasn't played at this level before. And I think time will tell whether he's going to be suited and ends up being sort of a fullback who can ball play like Brett Hodgson, or he ends up in the arse. For me,
I think it is, while they got the speed behind them, because that speed only lasts for about 2 to 3 seasons, keep them at fullback and allows them to develop their half skills, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, what happens to me in Europe is once we start losing half speed, we're in the middle.
Yeah, end up in the donkeys.
Me and you end up with the donkeys. We're all pretty quick when I first started, as you was, and then all of a sudden the Father Time starts catching up with us and we end up in the middle with broken noses and shoulder reconstructions and all the rest, but
right.
Like you say, he's got pace to burn. Whatever sport you're playing, there's no substitute for speed. And while he's got it, we're going to utilise him to our advantage. And whatever works best for him and whatever works best for the club, we'll use him. However,
all right. Well, congratulations on the win. We wish Ryan all the very best in his upcoming games, and good luck tonight, mate.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Oh, fingers crossed, we'll get a win.
Nice one, Robbo. Good luck.
Happy birthday, Robbo. And there we have Luke Robinson preparing for under-19s game. Was it an under-19s game?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Over at the Huddersfield Giants, he's gone from living the life of luxury like Leon, working 2 hours a day.
Shut up, Robbo, because my wife might be
listening. 2 hours
to
a day.
Robbo, don't do this to me, because she does meet in anyway, so don't be giving any more ammo.
Yeah, she's our number one listener as well, is our Carla. All right, breaking news just before the show today. The RFL pleased to announce the Kevin Sinfield MBE has joined the governing body in the role of rugby director. And that starts the 1st of December, September, sorry. He'll be, the role includes performance and development department up at Red Hill, and they'll be split between commercial marketing communications team based down in Media City, so involve their business development, event support, post-career player development, basically everything. Robbo thinks he's got a lot of jobs.
Wow.
That's a massive, massive umbrella of different departments that he'll be stretching into. But good appointment.
I think
great,
so.
Don't
yeah,
you think?
I think so. Yeah, I know that Kev has been studying for a while, same as JP, when he was at Leeds for his after rugby career, and obviously somebody who's got so much experience in the game, basically been in the game since he was 7 or 8 years of age. You know, if he doesn't know what's wrong and can't fix a few things, and nobody can really. So he's been at the top of the game for a long time, and I don't think there'll be anybody better for the job. So I'm looking forward to see what changes he comes up with.
So talking about preparing for post-career careers,
mm-hmm.
That leads on to yourself.
Yeah.
What studies have you been doing? Degree of life.
Yeah, life. I'm thinking of just retiring, Rob, to be honest with you. I'm setting my missus up working, and I'm just going to retire and
actually,
do nothing.
But I've heard on the grapevine something that it's a little bit unknown. Apparently, you're a super coach.
Well, I won't want to tell anybody that, but yeah, well, I don't do bad.
I've been told you're a super coach. You're one game in, one win.
Yeah, well, Kapow. No, I coached West Bowling last week. We had a top of the table class, and I don't want to blow my own trumpet out, so.
You were awesome.
Well, all I'll say is I came in one game and we won against the top of the league. With the boys, I only came in for the game. West Bowling first team have been playing, doing well all season. I think they were on 11-game unbeaten run. Glenn Barclough's the usual coach, but I used to help Glenn when I was at St Helens, mm-hmm. and before I went to France. I used to coach the first team. And he was away on holiday, so he sent me a little message on Twitter asking if I could do the game for him while he's away on holiday and help him out. And I did that and I really enjoyed it. The boys got a great win against top of the table, Charleston, who were a team from Featherston. And it was a great game. Enjoyed it. The boys killed it. Right game.
So taking into account, there's a natural progression from playing rugby league into coaching rugby league. Obviously, you know intimately the core product that you're trying to teach. You're a great communicator. You're very analytical about the game. Strategically, you played the right positions in the halves, know how to move the team mm-hmm. around. You know what you need from your donkeys to give you time and space to move. Understand the defensive side of the game about winning the ruck, winning the ground. Wouldn't coaching be an attractive proposition for Leon Prost?
I'd like to coach. That's what I'd like to do. One day I'd like to coach Bradford Bulls. That'd be my dream job, coaching. Hopefully, I'd love to do that.
Coaching the Bradford Bulls, yeah. Your hometown.
Yeah, one day, 5-6 years down the line, that's what I'd like to be doing. Listen, there's nothing I know more in life than rugby. I don't know anything else. I'm not a very, very clever man, but I understand rugby league.
Oh, I think you do yourself a disjustice.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
people learn differently. One of the things that I know about you, Leon, you're a very quick kinetic learner. If you do something once, you kind of pick it up with your hands and you're done. You've learned it. You've done it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, academically wise, like sitting and writing things and learning and reading books. I can't. That's not my.
You just mentioned there you would like to coach the Bradford. 100%. Would that be a dream job of yours?
100%. Yeah.
Okay, but on that note. We discussed earlier on in the year the huge amount of pressure that a former St. Helens legend, one of your friends, good friends, Kieran Cunningham, was under in the local trades this week. It had Kieran Cunningham, fans drove my wife and daughter away.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, and you know that if you came back and you coached at Bradford, you would be under a massive magnifying glass.
I've been under a massive magnifying glass all my career, Robert, as yourself. But the thing is with Kieran is, Kieran's career has always been at St. Helens and it's always only been one way, which is up. Mm-hmm. He's never been down, he's never had a bad season, he's never played badly, he's never been poorly. The fans have always loved him. So this experience of going through a rough time as the coach is a total different experience. You've got to remember, Kieran's like the legend of the club. He's got a statue outside of him, outside of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his first time in his career. He's probably gone through a little bit of adversity whilst being at St. Helens, not as a player, but as a coach. You know what it's like when things are going bad. You don't really want your missus and that there. Him being the coach, it's going to happen. I know it's not right.
We've got to point the finger at someone, don't you?
They do. And there's a lot of passion. It's a success successful club. It's a club that's expects trophies as I've been there and I've seen what happens. And it's a club that's been spoiled over the last, since 2006, 2005, it's been in finals after finals after finals, winning Challenge Cups, winning Grand Finals, winning World Club Challenges. They expect to win and they've been spoiled. And there's a group of players now that have gone and it's hard to replace those players. You don't just replace Paul Wellens, Paul Sculthorpe, Kieran Cunningham, Sean Long. You don't just replace them overnight. No. Jamie Lyon, Matt Gidleys, Willie Tillhouse.
All world class.
All unbelievable players. There's an international team and it takes time. You look at Leeds now. Look at Leeds. Lost three players. Yeah. Jamie Peacock, Kevin Sinfield, Lou Luai. Look what happens. They've gone from treble winners to bottom at league.
The Bulls did it, didn't they?
Same with the Bulls. Yeah. Same with the Bulls. There's always going to be a transitional period. Same with Man United when Fergie went. Same thing. There's always a transitional period. But
well, I love the approach that that Kieran had. He's stuck with his guns. He's fought through that adversity. He's infused the players with self-belief, and that's why up until last weekend, last Friday night against Wigan, they won seven games on the trot. All right, we're going to take another break. After the break, we'll be coming back. We'll be talking about some of the other hot topics as well as looking at this weekend's Challenge Cup run. All that and more, so stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price. Producer Ewan's in the house, and Leon sent young Jakey out to get more coffee or tea or something like that. You've been clicking your fingers again.
I sent him.
He's gone, Ewan snapped his fingers.
I sent him
Ewan's
for,
gone, look, I am the big dog here, Jakey. I am the big dog here, Jakey. Go and get, what have you, a knife.
It's got the cake.
Oh, he's got angry. He's got angry. He's like, I'm not going to take it anymore. Make fun of me on social media and order me around. You're saying, go postal. Okay, what are we doing here? The Rugby League Show. Oh, and Leon, what about the Don Manfredi? Manfredi, he could be out for a year. That is a massive blow for that young man. He's been in sensational form this year.
Unbelievable. We played against him a couple of times. Really, very, very hard to tackle. And I would pretty much guarantee that he'd been in the England international team, probably maybe starting. I would have thought he would have been starting with his form. Probably been the best winger in Super League, in my opinion, other than Dennis Alamona. But massive blow, 12 months, which means it must be the ACL, which is the knee.
You know what's the biggest shock for, well, the saddest thing for him is he'll miss the Four Nations at the end of this year. And if it is 12 months, he's going to miss the majority of the season next year. But there's a World Cup next year.
I think they would have thrown the 12 months out there just to give him enough time. But from what I've seen, usually it's around about 6, 7, 8 months now for ACL injuries. So I don't think it'll be 12 months, Rob.
The thing also that he's a young man, athletes repair quicker than normal human beings as well.
I think he'll be back a lot sooner than 12 months.
So fingers crossed. Actually, on Denny Solomona, he has publicly denied any interest in playing for England.
Well, he's not English.
Neither was Rangi Chase.
Good.
Denny Solomona. Solomon. That's more English. We just call him Dennis Solomon.
There's a few rumours, a few clubs after him, but what's he on? Is he on 30-odd tries? What's the record? 34?
Creeping up on Les.
He's not
far
off Les. A couple of hat-tricks, he could do it.
I wonder, though, because I think there's like two or three extra games now from back in the day.
Yeah, I think he could do it. Honestly, I really do. It's unbelievable.
Especially the form that Castleford had been in. It wasn't a high point-scoring game against Warrington, 14 points to 11.
Did he score?
No, I'm not sure, to be honest.
He could do it, couldn't he, though? He could definitely do it, couldn't he?
Yeah, if it's only four games away, because when they get in the mood...
What's the record?
When Castleford get in the mood, they play towards the side around, and he scores tries for fun.
He was on 31, 32 tries.
He was on 30 tries leading into the game against Wigan.
Okay.
And I think he scored two tries or three tries in that game. So he's right up there.
Okay.
He's right up there. Greedy. Learn to pass the ball, Denny. Don't just keep the ball yourself. Okay, so we've got the Challenge Cup final this weekend.
Wicked.
Exciting. You know, we've got a proper Challenge Cup final with two of the best teams in the competition. This is what really excites me about this weekend and makes me really look forward to it coming up. You've got two teams that are on top of the competition that are both performing well at this time of the year. Hull FC, 36 points. Warrington Wolves, 1 point behind them. The two best teams in the Super League are battling it out for the Challenge Cup final. And Leon, you're losing your attention because they're cutting up cake over here and you're getting excited, aren't you?
I'm just listening. Go on, keep going.
But you must be whetting, it must be whetting your appetite with these two teams, shaping up against each other.
Yeah, I think. What do you think?
Is there still a chance you'll play?
No, there's no chance I'll play. So let's not talk about that.
Let's just talk about
as a fan, like a rugby league fan that we are, rugby league nerd that I am. It's a massive game. Does the Challenge Cup hold the same significance that it did when you played and when I played, like back in the day, 96, 97, up to 2007, 2008, I'd say?
Personally, for me, it does. And I think for the players that are involved in the Challenge Cup, it does. Because it is the oldest rugby league competition on the planet. It has over 100 years of heritage based behind it. It is the trophy to win.
But for me, some of the timings at the moment, for me, I grew up 8, 9 years of age watching the Challenge Cup, sitting down on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon listening to Ray French call the game. He's a big lad. He's from Bradford. He's 6'4", Leon Price on the wing. You know what I mean? That's what we're all about, the magic of the Challenge Cup.
How many times have you listened to that back?
But it's just, you know, the magic of the Challenge Cup, we're all about the BBC. It was all about Ray French, and it was always a packed out stadium. Semi-finals were always a 20,000-30,000 fans.
You know why it's probably special for me? Because my mum and dad in New Zealand, on the far side of the planet, all the way down there with only 14 people in, 30,000 sheep there, they used to beam that game
over to New Zealand, Australia.
And my mum and dad would, that's how big a rugby league family we were. They would wake me and Henry up and we'd get up. To be honest, I'd only ever last the first half, then I'd fall back asleep again. But just how exciting it was.
Yeah, well,
can I throw a question at you? What was it like for you playing in your first Challenge Cup final? What was the day like?
The day.
Describe it.
I'll be honest with you, Rob, because I've played over so many.
I just want to know that first one, though.
The nerve wracking. Yeah, it was very, very nerve wracking.
Because you grew up from 4 years of age, 3 years of age. You grew up watching the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, and it's changed. I was prepared for games when I was a young lad compared to how I was probably prepared for my last one. We're totally different.
Of course.
The first one's very nerve wracking. It's about an occasion. You're looking at the fans. You're looking at the fans coming into the stadium. You wake up in the morning nervous. You can't eat because your nerves are controlling you, because you've not really gained your confidence in yourself yet. I'm only, 18? We're in 2000, so we're 18/19. It was at Murrayfield. We played against Leeds. There'd been floods the day before, so the field were all shattered. I was on the bench, which makes it even more nerve-wracking because you're not starting the game. You're not into the feel of the game straight away. Plus, I was on the wing, which means you're isolated, so you're nervous about catching eyeballs. Are you going to get bombed? Are you going to get, what's going to happen? Am I going to knock on? So you have a lot of doubt. Obviously, it was even bigger because we're playing against Leeds, who were our biggest rivals. So we wanted the bragging rights. We got knocked out by Leeds 1999 in the semi-final. So we owed them one as well. I wasn't playing, I was watching that one. 99 or 98. 98 when they beat London, but not in semi-finals. Mm-hmm. So it was massive. It was massive for the club. And I got onto the field pretty early because somebody got injured. And I remember Nathan McAvoy doing a chip over the fullback, I think, of Yestin Harris, kept gathering and scoring. Mick Withers having a world of a game. Yar Henry bombing Leroy Rivette to death and nearly kept finishing his career.
Brian Mack. Brian Mack.
But I was on the wing, yeah.
Warriors game that day.
Yeah. But they were my standout memories. I didn't want involved too much, but they were my memories of the game.
So nerves, the nerves.
The nerves, nerves. But my favourite memory probably would be 2008, where I'd finally got into, I were at St. Helens, I was a pivotal player of the team, I was at the peak of my career, I was in the best physical condition I've ever been in. And it was at Wembley, which we'd always want to be at Wembley. Big part of the team, against Hull, we come out to the stadium, you're walking out and, the national anthem, a full packed house. And I played, I dominated the game as an halfback, which I've always wanted to do, not as just an outside winger or somebody that didn't really influence the game. And I scored the winning try underneath the sticks in the 76th minute to win the game. And I remember standing behind the sticks and just looking and taking it all in, putting my hands out to the crowd and riding it a little bit. I rode the celebration for a while, but I've been waiting for that to hold that memory since I was 8 years old. I've been dreaming of winning a Challenge Cup, scoring the winning try in front of my crowd and scoring. I stood there and put my hands up and looked into the crowd, and I stood there for about a good minute anyway, just looking left and right and taking it all in and just memorising that 1 minute. Thinking, right, that's it. I've achieved my lifelong dream now. I've done it. That's it. I'm done. I'm happy.
Ewan's actually just got that picture up. He's got the picture up of you doing that. We'll see if we can post that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. You know what was wonderful about you just describing that then?
Yeah.
Was actually you went there.
Yeah, well,
and you had me and Jakey. I was looking at Jakey as well, and Jakey was there with you.
I can
see
it, but I remember. So, I know sometimes players, rugby, especially rugby players, can get criticised for carrying on a little bit when they score. But I remember thinking, I shouldn't really do this, but I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to soak it in. I'm going to really remember this moment, and I'm going to look, and I could just remember looking at the big, all the St. Helens fans going crazy behind sticks.
That's incredible.
And it's just like, that is it. That's all I've worked all my life for, that, with this one moment, and I'm going to enjoy it.
That was your rock star moment.
It was.
That was.
It was. 100%.
People that want to stand in front of people and sing songs and have a stadium, a packed out Wembley, just screaming at them. That's what it's all about.
What about you, Robert? I mean, you've played in your fair share of Challenge Cups, and you've made some special memories. What's your favourite memory of Challenge Cup?
My favourite memory is nearly a carbon copy of your own.
Go on then.
And that was the third try I scored in Wembley in 1996. Sadly, it wasn't the winner though. Mm-hmm. Got us back into the game, but it wasn't the winner. But I scored that third try, kind of comprehended at the same time off. Because remember, the sponsors had made a big deal out of no one scoring a hat-trick before.
Yeah.
And so they put a £10,000 tab on it. And when I scored that try, I rolled up to 30,000, 40,000 Bradford Bulls fans just screaming.
And
at
I
me.
Was one of them. Well, yeah. I got so well in the crowd, yeah. Well, that's yeah. we were. Yeah, I got
oh,
so well.
Wow, awesome.
We were going crazy.
And
it was the old Wembley as well, which made it better.
The old Wembley, yeah. And I just pumped the air. I just saw one of those... Come on, Abbott moments. And when you were describing your moment, that's exactly how I felt. It was just all of that energy from the fans into you at that point in time.
What
and
were the
just,
noise like, Robbie? Because that stadium produced more noise than the new one.
You couldn't hear a thing. You couldn't hear a thing. Actually, that's been quite nice, actually, walking back down our memory lanes. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be discussing, looking at both Hull and Warrington in a little bit more detail. So stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport. And we'll also be taking a look at the Challenge Cup final this weekend, looking at the two teams in a little bit more detail. Warrington Wolves and Hull FC, actually, do you know that they've never ever faced each other in a major
never.
Final?
Wow.
Not in the Super
and
League,
also,
not
did
in
you,
the...
Did you not know?
No final, whatever.
Did you know that Hull FC have never won at Wembley either? They've never won at Wembley. It's the hoodoo. That's what all the big talk is on Humberside. Can Hull FC break the hoodoo at Wembley? They've never, ever won at Wembley.
At Wembley?
Never. They've won the Challenge Cup, but it was at Millennium Stadium.
But they've never. Who was that against? Wigan?
Leeds. But they've never won at Wembley. So that's the big talk is can they, because I think one year back in the 80s they played against Hull KR and lost.
If they win,
it's going to be a
they
mad
go down in history. They go that 17 go down in for, as legends, don't they?
History for a life, forever. Heroes.
You know, I was looking at at their pullout in one of the trade mags, and just looking at those with experience going into this game, and there's not a great deal of experience on both teams. You know, guys, you and Ryan Bailey were the most exposed players to Challenge Cup finals. There's a piece of me that thinks, as a coach, I would have put you in.
Yeah, but...
Because that experience is immeasurable. Now, take it from someone.
We're biased, though, Robert.
This is where I'm coming from. When I went down there with Huddersfield, there was no one that had played in a cup final other than myself. And for the team, everyone were nervous across the board. I was the only guy that could deal with it, but I played in five finals. All the rest of the players had, you know, like you were talking about before, were all like you. You know, by the time you had got to 2000. Sorry, 2008.
My first one.
We had actually already played three finals before.
Yeah.
So there was the core of that team actually were well exposed to the pressures of a Challenge Cup final. And, you know, we had players like Henry who had come in and he'd played in finals and won them.
Mm-hmm.
He'd won a couple. So, and those were our core leaders. Those were the guys that, you know, Bernard Dwyer played in six, I think, finals. So we had quite a few players in our squad that were actually, you know, we had lost in a number of finals. We had exposed ourselves to that sort of loss. And so knew how to win. But whereas both teams going into this year, for me, having that sort of experience in and around the camp intimately is immeasurable.
Yeah.
Because one thing that from our point of view was also the coaches got nervous, and we had a meeting every single day, and the meeting would start with...
What was this? What year was this?
This was 2000, when News beat us in 2006.
Oh, six, okay, yeah.
So, and the meeting started with, look, I don't want you guys to worry about it. I don't want to make you guys nervous. Every meeting started with that, and we had a meeting every single day. Yeah, and actually two meetings in some of the days. So you're constantly, you never get a chance to switch off. So by the time you play the game, you've already played the game 14,000 times in your head. And you were mentally exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys said we had run out of juice by the second half.
Yeah.
We kind of held it with you for the first half. You guys were patient, played out the game, and by the second half, you blew us away.
Yeah, it's a big factor, but it's the team that he's going with. It's going to be a really exciting game. It's going to be really hot. It's going to be warm. I'm looking forward to watching it.
The forecast is supposed to be cracking this weekend.
And it's always warmer down pitch side as well. Are you with BBC?
I am, yeah.
So it's going to be a good game. Looking forward to watching it. I'd rather be playing, but hey ho. And let's go. Let's see what happens.
What do the Wolves have that make them a threat? What are the talk around Hull FC at this point in time? What are you guys looking at? Who are their dangers?
I'll talk about more of a... I won't talk about it from Hull's perspective. I'll talk about it from my...
My perspective. We want to know
I'm not talking tactics. They've got very good dummy half runners, so they've got Clark, who runs very well out of dummy half.
Who's in form.
They've also got Chris Sando, who in my opinion is the most influential player of a team in Super League. He's a very jack-in-the-box player. He can come up with chip kicks. He can come up with face balls, cut-out passes, dummies.
He's an X-factor player.
He's an X-factor player, and most of the season has been on form. Now, if he clicks and plays well, won't generally play well. So them two are the biggest players. The up-front player is what's the guy who plays proper for England?
Chris Hill,
who's a...
Their captain.
He's a leader. You know he's going to get out of him every game. He's going to get the ball. He's going to carry it 15, 20 times a game. You know, he's a grafter. He's a tough player. So them three there, pivotal to their team. But mainly it's the dummy half running. But I don't think they're a team that's very structured. They seem to play a game that's very off the cuff. A little bit similar to how Leeds played back in the day when Tony Smith, their offloads, run from dummy halves. Very hard to pin down exactly what they're going to do. Whereas I think Hull FC, we're a little bit more structured. You kind of know the structure of us players, as set moves. And we've got a very, very tough pack.
I find it seems to me that with Hull, I find it easier to read a Warrington structure.
I don't.
Than I do with Hull's. But obviously you're involved with Hull. Yeah. But I find that your individuals that yous have there can really shine within your structure.
Yeah, I think Warrington are a little bit more off the cuff in my opinion from what I've seen of them. But I think it makes for a good game. We've played them twice this year. We've beaten them twice, both close games, very very close games. So this is the one that we want to get over on them. They've got a little bit more experience in the coaching department. Tony Smith's been there, done it all.
Yeah.
You know, this is Radders' first big game.
How's he doing? How's is our mate Radders doing with the pressure of, you know, like you said, Hull FC, Hull as a city full stop, is a rugby league city.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rugby league mad city. Lee Radford, a young coach. Lee Radford's only been coaching for the last couple of seasons in that pressure cooker, which is a Super League coach's job. He gets Hull to the Challenge Cup final. They have all of those extra layers because I know what Hull's like. The Challenge Cup is held right up there in that massive esteem.
It's above Super League.
Exactly. So how is he doing dealing with those type of pressures?
I think it's okay for Radders. You've got to remember, he's come from a tough place where they were, for the last two or three seasons, we've been mid to bottom of the table. We've been out of the Challenge Cup early. It's been a pretty much doom and gloom kind of club for the past couple of years. But at the moment, we're sat top of Super League. We're in a Challenge Cup final, and the feeling around the camp and the feeling around the city is of a very very positive vibe. So I think that makes you can be relaxed and you can look forward to your games.
Now we always talk about a hangover of success. Well, actually, just quickly on Radders, he's not looking freaky at all. He's not doing anything untoward. He's looking composed and enjoying.
He's all right. Yeah, he's okay. I don't really see him that much, but yeah, he's all right.
Are you guys thinking beyond this game?
No.
Everything's poured into this game. You know that there's a danger in that. You know personally that there's a danger in that. That if you don't, I mean, if you build the Challenge Cup up to be too much, remember Leeds 2 years ago, where they had focused on, because that unit had not won a Challenge Cup. That unit had won 5 Super League rings. They had won World Club games, but they had not won a Challenge Cup. They win the Challenge Cup and then they can't win another game for the next like 7 games.
Yeah, but I don't think you can worry about that. I think you deal with that once you get to it. I think the Challenge Cup is far too historic and far too important for clubs to not take it so important. So, you know, if we won the Challenge Cup and we didn't win another game in the season, then I'm sure still people would still take that.
You'll accept that?
They won't do. You wouldn't do, but you've won a Challenge Cup, man. Come on, it's the biggest trophy out there and everybody wants to win it. We'll deal with whatever it comes with it after.
I'm not disagreeing that it's that it is a big trophy, but, you know, there is
at the end of the day,
a little thing called the Super League.
Yeah, we've put ourselves in a position to get there, haven't we? We're sat top at table. We're guaranteed a semi-final and we're already in the final of the Challenge Cup. So just play one game at a time, the old cliche, Rob.
The old cliche. All right. Okay. So what players individually should we be looking at in regards to Hull FC? Who are the boys that are going to step up in this game? And what individually can they bring?
So first of all, I think our leader and our most important player is Gareth Ellis. Been there, done that. Never won the Challenge Cup. I think he's won best back rower in Australia for like 3 years on the bounce. Won Super League. Leads on and off the field, but mainly his defence in the game. He ties up all the middle. And when you take him off the field, you can see the intensity in the defence, in the wrestle, drop straight away. That's why it's so important for our team, because he ties up the middle. It slows the ruck down, doesn't let him get a roll on, which hopefully then will stop Clark from running out of dummy half.
He's a bit of a funny one, isn't he? Because he seems to pop up all over the field defensively.
Yeah,
he fills in gaps. He goes
massive.
Where
it's huge.
You know where some people will say, "Oh, well, I made a tackle here, I'll stay at marker because it's easier to stay here at marker." He'll look for what work needs to be done.
Yeah, that's what makes him the player that he is. He just does. I think he sets himself a little bit like Peacock, doing the things that nobody else wants to do and doing them the best. And that's what kind of player he is now. He's pivotal to the team, so he'll start. You know, our leader is number one on the field. Second, I'd say Mark Snead. Mark Snead's had his best season for two years since he was at Castleford when they were playing awesome. His kicking game's unbelievable at the moment. When his goal kicking, I think must be somewhere near 85-90%. He's not missed one. I think he's missed 2 kicks out of probably 20 over the last two or three, four weeks. Unbelievable. He's grown in confidence. He's now our main ball player. All our good ball, all our attacking play goes through Mark Snead. He's the dominant halfback of the competition at the moment, alongside Gale. So he's massively important to the team.
Now, you know as well as I do, as a halfback, you're only as good as the platform that's set for you. And you guys at Hull have got some of the biggest and best forwards in the game that actually set a good platform. But not only that, you've got big edges, haven't you? The Polynesian boys, you've got their punch holes. Yeman's like a back rower that plays out on the edge as well.
Well, we've got Fatula Talanoa. And I'm telling you now, if he played at Wigan or Leeds, he would be talked about as one of the best wingers out there. I've seen him. He's unbelievably hard to tackle. He wins the ruck, gets on the flop, makes fast play the balls. He's unbelievable, like, right. A bit like Tevita and Les used to be.
Yeah, definitely get you on the front foot. Now, just quickly, we've got 15 seconds before we finish up. The mentality to win this weekend.
Don't change anything you've done for the last couple of weeks. Do the same that's won you the games previously.
And it's also one of those things where every single person in the team has to turn up, isn't it?
Yes.
They've got to turn up to play and not wait for the go-to men to actually do it. All right, thank you very much, Leon. That's it for us tonight. Big thanks to wherever you are listening tonight. Total Access is next here. So enjoy your lives, love your families hard, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul, and thanks again.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.